Show on the Novem Radio Network. Peter Werby sitting in for Mike. Sam Cedar did it all last week. And Mike, what? Huh, I offered to do it for him. Mike's on a Mexican Riviera cruise. Well, he'll be back and tell us all about it tomorrow, I believe. Ian Huff in Phoenix. Is that true? He's going to be on tomorrow? Okay, so he'll be back. In the meantime, it's your old pal, Pete. Maybe if you're around the country and in Phoenix and everywhere else we broadcast, I'm not your old pal. You may not even know who the hell I am. I'm an old friend of Mike's, at least, and he and I used to broadcast on the IE America Radio Network together, and I've subbed for him, so some of you may know who I am. Well, that's not real important. What's important is that we get the show going. We get you on the air. There's a toll-free number for you, 800-989-1480. And, I just did a show in Detroit last night where I'm broadcasting from. And, I always think, I do this weekly now, and I'm thinking, man, if I only did a daily show, I wouldn't have 100 stories. Because, these criminals that are ruling our planet always give us so much material, it's almost impossible to keep track of it. It's like, particularly, well, just here in our little fiefdom here, the Bushco machine, it's the Bush lie and scandal du jour. I mean, it's astounding that there is something every single day, to the point where good many progressives just have, like, scandal burn. Right? It used to be like 3 or 4 years ago. You go, aha, gotcha. We finally got this SOB that it's been exposed, that fill in the blank. He lied here. He got all his cronies in. He's giving away the store to his rich corporate buddies, on and on. Well, now it's just all over the front pages and the lead story of every media outlet in the country. I don't mean that we shouldn't continue to talk about it and expose it, but I suspect there's very little that I could bring up that you would go, oh, man, I didn't know that, particularly a Nova M radio audience. I mean, you folks know a lot of stuff, don't you? Here's what I thought we would talk about. About kicking religion out of the public square. That's what the right-wing Christian conservatives say progressives are about, that we want to kick religion out of the public square. I don't know about you. I do. And I'll tell you why. But it's the return of the Christmas wars. And it begins here in a little suburb of Detroit. But we'll talk about that later. Al Gore, everybody. I love it. The reason I'm laughing, of course, are these conservatives, these right-wingers, are just going wacko, aren't they? Al Gore. Arr, 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 arr. So I love it. I mean, I don't think the second coming of Gore is similar to what they expect for a second coming of their guy. But I love him just because they hate him so much, right? If you were listening to the news on Nova M Radio, you heard this, and it's been all over the news, I suppose, but I just heard it a minute ago or so, that the baby boomers are reaching senior status, and the question, of course, is there going to be Social Security for them, right, or us, or whatever. The rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer, the stats are in, and no liberal pinko commie progressives putting this out. It's the Wall Street Journal. We can talk about that as well. At about 35 minutes after this hour, we're going to be talking with Bruce Gagnon. He's the coordinator of the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space, and Bushco, this racket posing as a government, is launching another arms race, of which has the potential to destroy the planet. Remember, can we say Cold War? But also, I suppose they're really mostly about is that this allows them, if we don't stop it, to spend tens of billions of dollars of our tax money, which goes into the story about the first baby boomer applying for Social Security. The number here, by the way, is 800-989-1480 for the shy. Tonight, you can reach me by email at calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Calltalkyes@yahoo.com. If you're wondering who in the hell I am, you can go to my website. It's Peter Werby. The last name is spelled W-E-R-B as in boy E, peterwerby.com. But I think most of you are pretty familiar with this story. The nation's first baby boomer applied for Social Security benefits today, signaling the start of an unexpected avalanche of applications from the post-World War II war generation. And Kathleen Casey Kersling, a former teacher from New Jersey, applied for the benefits over the Internet, yada, yada, yada. She was born 1 second after midnight on January 1st, 1946, making her the first baby boomer, a generation of nearly 80 million born from 1946 to 1964. I was sitting with my buddies after playing handball a few weeks ago, and one of them said, we could be the last generation, boomers mostly, that are assured of a pension and of Social Security. And I said, well, are you sure? An estimated 10,000 people a day will become eligible for Social Security benefits over the next two decades. The social, now this is interesting, the way this is written, the way these lines just, where the right-wing talking points just get adapted into mainstream news. This is from the Associated Press, picked up from the Houston Chronicle. The Social Security Trust Fund, that's what we're going to get paid from, if left alone, is projected to go broke in 2041. Now, everybody, any progressive worth their salt knows this is just a blatant Bush-co lie that, with the being the thin wedge of which they were going to try to privatize Social Security so they could heap even more money on the already wealthy, something we'll get to a little later. The head of the Social Security, the commissioner, Michael Astru, said he hopes Congress will address the issue perhaps after the 2008 presidential election. Well, it's not going to go broke. It's not like it's going to be in, can I do some math here, 34 years. It's going to be emptied, and we're going to go, oh, no, granny, that'll, grandpa, that'll be us, and could have no money. There could be shortfalls. Depends on who is doing the counting and the accounting. And, the old 100-year-old phrase from Mr. Dooley, who was a social commentator, he said figures don't lie, but liars can figure. And it's really interesting, I think, to kind of analyze this kind of these right-wing and conservative and Republican talking points that suddenly appear in mainstream news, corporate news, of course, unchallenged. They are so successful at that, aren't they? Well, one of the things you could do, and you wouldn't even have to have any alteration whatsoever, is take the cap off of payroll taxes. I think many of you know that right now, I think it caps out at $90,000. So if you make $90,000, if you make $2 million, you're paying on $90,000, then you don't pay any more. You and I, if we make $30,000 or $60,000 or $80,000, we're paying the full schedule of the payroll tax. So given the amount of new millionaires, given the fact that this institutionalized system of looting that Bush has presided over has created people with such enormous wealth, what would that mean? They would be able to buy one less $9,000 Rolex or something like that. But it would mean that the average people, the working people, the poor people, wouldn't have to worry about the Social Security Trust Fund projected to go broke in 2041. In fact, you would think if these people had any conscience, any real caring sense for other people, that they would say, you know what, they would have lobbyists, instead of trying to work out how they can get more and more money, more and more tax breaks, you would think that they would, unless they're heartless, does this mean the wealthy are heartless? Other than the entertainment people and a few others, right? You would think that they would be agitating through their high-paid lobbyists, let's get rid of the cap on payroll taxes so we fix any projected shortfall. There is going to be a shortfall unless something is altered. Now, there is, you can see where I am. I was just looking at my AARP bulletin. It comes from the American Association of Retired People. Although I'm not retired, I am eligible for being a member. Anyway, in the October 2007 edition, they have this article called The Line Starts Here. So on one hand, we're going to have 10,000 people a day becoming eligible for Social Security, and it's not always real easy to get. You got to go down to the office, you got to talk to them and what have you. Well, folks, it looks like it's a nightmare. It's going to be a nightmare. Well, let's talk about that when we come back. I'm Peter Werby in for Mike Malloy. If you'd like to call in the meantime, 800-989-1480. This is the Nova M Radio Network. I'll be right back. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network. Peter Werby broadcasting from Detroit in for Mike. Mike will be back tomorrow. We're talking about Social Security, whether it's going to be there for the boomers. The first one is eligible today. And I was talking about in this Associated Press account how the mainstream media, the corporate media, just picks up on Republican and right-wing talking points. Where it says the Social Security Trust Fund, if left alone, is projected to go broke in 2041, which is not true, of course. But I also said that I was looking at this article in the AARP Bulletin, the American Association of Retired People, talking about the line starts here and what miserable administrative shape the Social Security system is in. Since 1977, the number of beneficiaries has gone up by 16.4 million people, and the staffing has gone down by almost 25,000. So what happens is that you repeatedly get busy signals. What is it? In small towns and big cities, delays and backlogs at the Social Security office can sometimes be the rule. Whether it's an hour wait to see a representative in Pasadena, Texas, or a thousand day wait for a judge to hear a Social Security disability insurance claim in Atlanta. Calling a Social Security office can be as frustrating as lining up there. Today, an average of 51% of all calls to local offices get a busy signal, according to their own study. This one manager who had retired, she said, people have told me they've called the office for 2 weeks and couldn't get through. Now, normally, never, you know, like try to get a hold of your mortgage holder or somebody like that or your credit card and you can't get through or you're on hold for 20 minutes. They do that purposely. They do that purposely in order to deflect you. They don't want to hear from you. If they did, they'd have enough people there to get it. What's really terrible is that there is this enormous number of claims for disability insurance and a lot of boomers in their 50s, the years when working men and women particularly are prone to develop illnesses and disabilities. The number of workers who say they are too sick or disabled to continue to work has grown by a staggering 60% in the past few years. And yet today, 750,000 of these vulnerable Americans are waiting an average of 520 days and in some areas close to 3 years for a hearing on their claims. So, you know, our money's going elsewhere. Do I have to say where? You know, can we say Iraq? Can we say taxes and more wealth to the rich? Afghanistan? On and on and on and on like that. But let's see. Let's get Lewis. Lewis is listening to Winds in Fort Lauderdale. Hey, thanks for joining me on the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby here with you. Are you with me?
Yeah, I'm right here with you.
Well, go ahead. It's your turn.
Well, those of you who are going down for your entitlement benefits, which is your retirement, not your disability, also have a little surprise coming because the Bush crime family apparently has a policy that when you go in, they are going to grill you. You're going to feel like a criminal in that Social Security office. I have worked 47 years contributing to the fund. I went in there, and she said, well, you didn't report any income in 1986. I said, my company was on strike. You didn't report any in 92. I said, how about Hurricane Andrew? And she said, well, according to our figures, you're going to make $1 million next year. Although my average is $60,000, I said, that's very interesting. Then I won't need to retire. But this is all a criminal Bush crime family. So they found another gambit. They're not going to have to get rid of Social Security. They're going to get rid of us.
Well, you know what's happening, of course, Lewis, is that everything is taken on the model of the old welfare offices. So we're disrespected when we come there. I mean, people on welfare shouldn't be, or applying for welfare, should get respect. But even when you're in a bank, think about these endless bank lines or, you're in Florida. You're not, like when we go back and forth to Canada through Detroit to Windsor, and it's always like you're a criminal. You're sort of like guilty until you can prove yourself, a loyal American citizen. It's really a terrible situation, isn't it?
Well, yes. I can remember 15 years ago, I was a citizen. Today, I'm a suspect. I'm a suspect where I go. I've had enough of this guy.
Yeah.
He is the criminal, but we get treated with such disrespect. And I have marched with Cindy Sheehan. I have been to New York, Washington. I have used my personal rights. And you know what it's got me? It's got me a dossier. I'm sure of it. Had my picture taken more than once. And this is what I get for being an American citizen.
Hey, Lewis, let me ask you a question. You brought up something I've been thinking about. A lot of activists, a lot of progressives have really getting burned out because we thought if we could only expose the crimes of Bushco that everything would fall apart. Well, they don't back off for a second or an inch or give an inch. Do I hear, some burnout there with you?
Yeah, I was running an organization here in South Florida. I was representing Move On. I was representing at least two other national organizations. We met every week. We went to the courthouse and protested. You know what? They had photographers there. They had guys with video cameras. My people got scared. There were over 20 of us at one time, and we were putting money and effort into it. But you know what? He's the guns. He is a thug, and his enforcers are the U.S. Marines. And you don't mess with those guys, because you can't outgun them, and you can't outrun them.
Well, what's that old Doors song? They got the guns, but we got the numbers. Thank you, Lewis. Thank you very much. Appreciate your call. All right, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to be back. Of all the things that these gangsters in Washington are doing, there is some things that threaten the life of the entire planet, all of us, and that is the resurrection of the arms race. We'll be back and talk with Bruce Gagnon, from the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space. I'm Peter Werbe on the Mike Malloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. This is one of these control boards where you have to, turn on the microphone. Yeah. Peter Werbe broadcasting from Detroit. Mike winging his way back from his exotic tour of the Mexican Riviera. He'll be back tomorrow. Our number, 800-989-1480, will get you on the air. I was quoting just a little earlier from the AARP magazine. The Bulletin, I guess they send this out something like every month. Mary in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Peter, do you realize that this fraud organization is nothing more than a shill for an insurance company, which, by the way, gives its CEO millions of dollars of a year in salary from informationally ignorant subscribers to its newsletter? I'm 70 years of age and would not read or subscribe to that rag. Do you got to pay? I don't even know whether you pay. It just winds up in my house. Maybe my wife did. Anyway, it was good information, Mary. And, even a broken clock is correct twice a day, isn't it? and they, what they were saying about Social Security. Now, here's a news item, one of these things that we don't talk about too much, and you kind of see it you know, as you look at the online news, or it'll never be in the daily papers, never gets on the network news or anything like that. But it has a few implications. Russia warns of arms war in space. Well, Russia's military space commander vowed to retaliate with an arms race if any country started putting weapon systems into orbit, he said in remarks published on October 3rd. Space Forces Commander Colonel General Vladimir Popovkin, Popovkin told the newspaper Trud, "We need to have strong rules about space to avoid its militarization, and if any country will place a weapon in space, then our response will be the same." Well, I wonder, this is interesting. That's why we have this guest. I wonder what country he could be talking about. Maybe, I don't know, El Salvador? We'll find out. Popovkin's remarks were the latest in a series of increasingly assertive statements from the Russian military, which is alarmed at what it sees as a growing hardware imbalance with the West. Stung by NATO expansion up to Russia's borders, well, those commies, oh, they're not commies anymore, are they? President Vladimir Putin has given notice that Russia intends to pull out of a treaty limiting conventional forces in Europe. Well, Obushko is just throwing us back to the Cold War, isn't he? Well, let's bring on our guest. He's just not only is he probably the most important source of information about weapons in space, but also is someone who continues this issue that not too many other people are paying attention to. He's Bruce K. Gagnon. He's coordinator of the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space. We reach him in Brunswick, Maine. Bruce, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby here with you.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing good, but these people are crazy, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. They're going for the whole, you know, they're rolling the dice. They're going for everything now.
And I'm not talking about Russia.
We're talking about Bushko, as you called them.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They're going for the whole schmear.
Tell us what the schmear is. Go ahead.
Well, it's Russia. In the case of Russia, Russia has the world's largest supply of natural gas. And they recently took several of their major oil fields out of development by the Western, meaning U.S. and Britain, oil corporations. And so these people are angry at them. They want their goods. And in fact, there's a rumor floating around that the RAND Corporation in California, the right-wing think tank that did the Pentagon Papers back in the early 70s when Daniel Ellsberg released them to the public, they've come out with a study that calls for the breaking up of Russia into three different countries, just like they're trying to now do to Iraq and like they did to Yugoslavia. And so at this very moment, the United States and NATO have been surrounding Russia with expansion, military expansion into Latvia and Lithuania and Estonia, and they want to move into Georgia. The United States has built bases in Bulgaria and Romania. And now, at this very moment, the Bush administration has announced that they're going to put 10 so-called missile defense interceptors into Poland and a Star Wars radar in Czechoslovakia.
Now, they're doing this because of that rogue state, Iran. Isn't that, Bruce Gagnon, a good thing to protect us from these maniacs in Tehran?
Well, you know, it was interesting. I was just flying back from South Dakota yesterday. I spent the last week speaking in Omaha, Nebraska, and upstate northwest Iowa about all these issues Omaha, Nebraska, they have STRATCOM, which at Offutt Air Force Base, the strategic command that is now in charge of preparing the attack on Iran. They're in charge of so-called missile defense, Star Wars, computer warfare, all global strike, first strike, and everything else. And so there was a series of protests there and a couple talks I did. And as I'm getting on the plane in Sioux Falls, South Dakota yesterday, I pick up the local newspaper, and there's an article about major American scientists, Ted Postol, MIT, others as well, saying that this radar in the Czech Republic and these interceptors in Poland could not physically intercept anything from Iran, even if they did have a weapon of mass destruction, which they don't.
Right.
That, in fact, these things would only work, say the scientists, if They were targeted on Russian missiles.
And they know that. And the Russians know this.
The Russians know it. The U.S. lies about it and denies it. But what's really unsettling here is that last month, Congresswoman Ellen Tosher, Democrat from California, went to Poland and the Czech Republic and met with the leaders in that country who were under severe pressure. 70% of the people in Poland and the Czech Republic are opposed to these things. Look, they were used once by the former Soviet Union. They know what it's like to be a colony. They don't want it to happen again on the reverse on our side.
And they don't want to be a target either.
Exactly. And so Ellen Tosher went and met with the right-wing governments in both those countries, Poland and the Czech Republic, and told them the following. You have to understand, she said, that we have bipartisan support in Washington for this program. You better get on board.
Whoa, Bruce Gagnon, I didn't think you were going to say that. I thought our progressive Democrats were coming to the rescue with sanity about nuclear weapons and the arms race in space, but we're talking bipartisan madness here, aren't
yeah,
we? Again.
It's big money. You know, the Pentagon brags that Star Wars will be the largest industrial project in the history of the entire planet Earth.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Democratic Party understands what that means as much as the Republicans.
I don't know if the news has reached people like you nationally, but the state of Michigan is broke. And rather than taking money that rightfully belongs here to solve the problems of states like Michigan and other ones, this is going to be what? Another giveaway to the military-industrial complex, which we have to begin to look at not as a proper noun, but rather as a complex that is fueled by the looting of the American taxpayer.
And creating essentially their own independent foreign policy. And fabricating enemies in order to keep the money flowing. But I got to tell you, Peter, that 2 years ago in one of the space industry publications, Space News, that I subscribed to keep an eye on, they had an editorial and they said, look, we understand that we are talking about a very expensive system here. We know we have to be responsible corporate citizens. They said, we've come up with a funding source. We're now sending our lobbyists to Washington to secure it. And they said it's the entitlement programs that officially in America are the following: Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and what's left of the welfare program after Bill Clinton got through with it. Those are the programs that the military-industrial complex has identified for defunding in order to pay for Star Wars.
Let me just do a little parenthesis here. I don't know if you heard the show on hold or on the internet or anything like that, but we began the show by talking about Social Security and how much of it is going to be there for the boomers, when we all retire. So, folks, this is not ADD radio. In fact, this one subject flows right into another. In fact, I don't think too many people will be shocked that it is all pretty heavily linked together. You know, I forgot how quickly these segments go by, Bruce Gagnon. Tell us about the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space's event last week, Keep Space for Peace Week. That looked like it came out swimmingly.
Yeah, we had local actions all over the world in 12 countries and 17 states. It was a wonderful week of a lot of activity. We got fairly decent local media, as that goes anymore. It's very difficult anymore to get any media, but we're really energizing people around the world. And the reason is because in all these countries around the world, the U.S. is now putting Star Wars bases. In fact, they just announced right before the week began, the week of local protest, that England was not only going to upgrade two radars in northern England that already exist, two U.S. Star Wars radars, but on top of that, they're now offering to put missile defense interceptors into England on behalf of the Bush administration and the Missile Defense Agency and those Democrats that are increasingly supporting the program because of the money involved. So people all over the world really get it, and they're very angry about it. I was in India last October during Space Week, and while I was there, I picked up a local newspaper that said the United States wants India, who's got 300 million poor people in that country, the equivalent number of our entire nation here in the States, we want them to build a space command and to get involved in this program with us. If people would like more information about all of our work, you can go to our website, which is spaceforpeace.org, spaceforpeace.org, or you can call the office in Maine, and we'll be happy to send you some information in the mail, and that is area code 207-443-9502, or I'll read that again, to area code 207-443-9502.
Well, Bruce Gagnon, we really owe you a debt of gratitude. I know that you're not doing it for the thanks, that you have an understanding very deeply of the threat to our world, let alone the racket that this has all become, that, as I said earlier, is based on the looting of the American taxpayer.
Well, so Peter, I leave Thursday for Prague in Czech Republic, where there's going to be an international meeting this weekend to protest this. These deployments. So I'll be there, and I'll be reporting on it from our website.
Well, check back with me, too. If I'm doing more radio, you're on the air, Bruce Gagnon.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having joined us on the Nova M Radio Network. Peter Werbe with you on the Mike Malloy Show. We're all open line for the whole rest of the evening, so please join me. 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480. I'll be right back. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werbe in for Mike. He'll be back tomorrow. Our phone number, 800-989-1480. We're talking about the process of systematic looting, particularly by this government in Washington, actually this racket in Washington, posing as a government, a racket posing as a government. That and either, remember I asked Lewis from Wins in Fort Lauderdale, was he getting sort of burnt out? And we hear that from a lot of activists, a lot of progressives, and we understandingly are getting pretty cynical about the Democrats, at least many of them, making any great changes. And but I think we have two choices. One is resistance. Meaningful, powerful resistance and organizing it, or we just ought to all thatch our roofs and admit that we're going to be peasants and just hope that the rulers give us a little, right? Particularly on Christmas. Let's go back to our phones. Here is Joy. Joy's in Santa Cruz, California. Hi, Joy. It's Peter Werbe in for Mike.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Thank you for filling in for Mike.
And thank you for joining me.
I am listening, and I wanted to let you know that there's something that people should see on the Internet tonight.
Okay.
They need to go to current.com, which is the network for that Al Gore started.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to current.com/people/Al Gore,
yeah,
he has a number of new videos up that are addressing specific campaign issues.
So what do you think? You think he's going to run?
I think he is.
Yeah, that's interesting.
He actually did these in front of his own computer.
Ah, well, he can win.
What?
He can win.
Oh, of course he can.
It's a toss-up as to whether Hillary can. But
well, if he ran against Hillary, she would be in the dust.
No, I mean in the general election, because Hillary has a lot of negatives.
Al Gore
now.
I won't vote for her.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna at some point during the evening, I want to talk about Al Gore and the prize and what he's done with it and why the right wing just hates him so badly. I mean,
well,
you know why they hate him? Because for one thing, he won the 2000 election, right? So the fact that he's still hanging around and is still popular and way more popular than the theft in chief, the man who illegally seized the office of the presidency in 2001. So there's a special room in right wing hell for Al Gore, which makes me like.
Well, I have a
couple
of comments on that.
That what? What?
I have a couple of comments on why I think that is.
Well, tell me quick, sure.
One, he's smarter than them, and they
well,
know
that's,
it.
Well, that's easy, but go ahead.
Well, they're like the schoolyard bullies who used to beat you up because you raised your hand in class.
Yeah.
When you were asked a question. But he's also right on almost everything.
Yeah, you're right. But you know
and
what?
They can't stand that.
You know what, Joy? I don't. It's hard for me to forgive Al Gore for admitting defeat in 2000. He knows the election was stolen from him. He knows
yeah,
that it was.
After he went to the Supreme Court, how much further could he go?
Well, you know what? In other countries, when there's a theft of elections, sometimes they call people into the streets. I mean, that's what the right wing did. They called these Republican Party operatives down to Florida, and
they acted
like a mob. What we could have done would have had a legitimate, peaceful demonstrations all over the country saying, put Al Gore properly in the office of the presidency. He won the election.
Was that his fault or was that our fault?
Well, it's partly our fault.
We were kind of mesmerized by this whole process.
I know.
We're 37 days, and no one knew how to respond. We were all just like, what the heck is going on?
But what if Al Gore would have said, I need millions of people in the street, or this election is going to be stolen, and you're going to get this far-right-wing, far-reaching revolution, a right-wing revolution, which a right-wing revolution,
and
a fascist revolution. Huh?
Well, let me explain to you why I think he did it.
Okay.
And then I'll get off the phone. You know, I'd like to hear your response.
Go ahead.
I think he responded this way because he still believed in the rule of law. And he believed that he would be justified. And he didn't want to have a coup on his hands or be accused of a coup, even though he was being couped.
I don't know. Yeah, even though he's being couped, right? It's like someone breaks into your house, steals your sound system. You go to a party a week later, and there's the sound system, and you go up to the guy. Because remember, Clinton and Gore went to the inauguration. It's like going next week. You go to the thief's house, and you say, "Hey, man, nice box, nice sounds you got." You know.
Just tell me, though, how delicious it would be to see Al Gore swearing, being sworn in and have Bush in the background on the dais.
I know.
Having to look at that.
Yeah. Think about, though, how much damage has been done over the years, though. And I'm not putting that all on Gore, but.
Well, I don't think he realized it would be this bad.
No.
I really don't.
No. Remember, he was going to be, that Bush was going to be the igniter. We got to take a break. Thanks, Joy. Thanks for spending the time with us here on the Mike Malloy Show.
Thank you.
Yep. I'm Peter Werby, in for Mike Malloy. And if you'd like to join us, there's some open lines. It's 800-989-1480. We come back. I'll keep talking about this. You can talk about whatever you want in any sequence. I don't care, because I'm as ADD as many of you are. But I want to talk about kicking religion out of the public square. That's what the righties say the progressives are trying to do when we try to make the First Amendment real. The Christmas Wars return, and I'll return after we take a top-of-the-hour break, get you some news and stuff like that, so hang on. 800-989-1480, it's the Nova M Radio Network. Peter Werby in for Mike Malloy. This is the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby with you on the Nova M Radio Network. This is our second hour, if you're just joining us. We've been talking about Social Security and essentially, is it going to be there for the boomers? Well, it can be if the tax structure accurately reflects who has achieved all the wealth in the last few decades or so. That's the ultra rich. We'll talk about that in a little while. Also, the highly dangerous steps that the United States has taken under George Bush, Bushco, the racket posing as a government that is looting our tax money to pay the military-industrial complex in a manner unknown to this date. I mean, the military-industrial complex is what really took us out of World War, what took us out of the Depression, beginning with World War II. At the end, they said, oh, my God, what are we going to do? We don't have an enemy. So they manufactured one in the face of the Soviet Union. We know now with when we've seen the archives, that the Soviet Union never intended an attack on the United States, never intended an attack on Western Europe. So this was all quite a fraud in order to justify the expenditure of trillions of dollars that was passed on to the corporate interest in the United States. Eventually, it pretty much bankrupted the Soviet Union, and it returned to capitalism. And again, that was one of the goals, of course, of the arms race itself. But now Bushko is about to launch another arms race, which will jeopardize us in the same manner that the last one did. It was absolutely unnecessary last time. It's absolutely unnecessary this time. So if we want to have, we might have to start making some choices. Do we want to have an arms race and threaten all of our existence? Or do we want to have Social Security? Do we want to have a national health program? That's the choices facing us. But, and let's see, also, I know people wanted to talk about Al Gore. We'll talk about Al Gore, but I wanted to bring up something as well. One of the things that the righties accuse us of is wanting, and this is their language, wanting to kick religion out of the public square. Well, I plead guilty as a lefty that I indeed want to kick religion out of the public square. But maybe we could get rid of that language and go to some maybe old-fashioned language, some language 200 and something years old. It's called the United States Constitution, the Bill of Rights, because the First Amendment, when we say, I got my First Amendment rights, it means you should be able to demonstrate in front of a federal building or a city hall without getting any kind of repression, without being spied upon. So we've always had to fight for our First Amendment rights. It means that we should be able to say what we believe without being put in jail. It means we ought to be able to publish and speak on radio what we want to say without fear of a government being repressive. This is why the Founding Fathers, slavers and landowners that they were, they knew how dreadfully dangerous and repressive the institution of government is, because almost all governments, 99.9%, have been nothing but rackets for the rich. In other words, rackets to protect the wealth and power and prestige of the elites. And that's what they were right from the beginning. You know, there's no golden age of the political state. It's not like it got bad over the last several centuries. I mean, it arose as a racket for the wealthy, and it has remained that, essentially. There has been some erosion of that process as we've entered the modern era, say, in the 17th, 18th century, that maybe we peasants ought to be cut in a little on the wealth that we peasants produce, so that it shouldn't all go up to the big shots, right? Which is what the state is all about. But in all of this, all of the First Amendment, let me get back to that, that none of those guarantees appear first in the language of the First Amendment. The first, and many of you know this, the language in the First Amendment says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Because the Founding Fathers, in their wisdom, knew how awful the commingling of the state and religion was, because they'd come from, both the colonies, how they functioned when they first came over here, these little religious tyrannies, and also that the malign malign power of the church in Europe, and not just the Catholic Church, which predominated in that era, but also the Protestant countries as well. So they put that in there. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. And like everything else in the Constitution, we've had to fight like hell in order to make it real. Well, this is from Berkeley. Now, not Berkeley, California either, but Berkeley, Michigan, a little suburb outside of Detroit where I'm broadcasting from, just a stone's throw away. And it's from the Detroit News, and it says, Christmas may be weeks away, but a quarrel has become an annual holiday tradition across America. It's in full swing. Heated disputes over religious displays on public property. An infant Jesus, Mother Mary, and Joseph are again at the center of this long-brewing legal controversy, this time in the city of Berkeley, where an unprecedented election on November 6th, voters will decide whether the government should be required to display a nativity scene at City Hall. This is, usually the city fathers and mothers put it up because they want to recognize Christmas, and they say we're a Christian nation, which we are not. We are a thoroughly secular nation, but these religious fanatics are trying to always shove their religion down our throat. Pardon me. But there's going to be a law that's going to require the city government of Berkeley, Michigan, to display a nativity scene at City Hall. Rulings from the highest court in the land have been anything but consistent on the issue of religious displays in a public square. The debate rages on, as to the meaning of the off-sited but equally vague establishment clause. Why is that equally vague? Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. You start having a religious scene out in front of a city hall, that's the establishing a religion. One of the two clauses of the First Amendment that govern the relationship of government to religion, and Thomas Jefferson's call for, quote, a wall of separation between church and state. You don't think we should have that? You think there should be one nation under God? That little phrase that was stupidly submitted, pushed into the Pledge of Allegiance in the 1950s, so no one would think we were godless communists. We're one nation under God. Where, let's think of where that would be. Saudi Arabia, Iran, places like that. Yeah. These highly emotional disputes where citizens embroil themselves in battles with their local governments and courts over the right to display and not to display have become so common nationwide they've been dubbed the Christmas Wars. Why do these people need to shove this into our face? They've got these, you know, you go to any town. How many churches are they? Why don't they put one up in front of every church? In fact, most churches do, don't they? I think so. Why do they have to have it in front of our city hall? Do they not realize the conflict that religion has been responsible for over the centuries? Do they understand what the consequences of religious conflict have been? I mean, all they have to do is look at history. And I'm not just talking about the Crusades and the current Crusades in the Middle East. Go to a nice Western Christian nation like Northern Ireland and look at the Catholics and the Protestants. I mean, that's the kind of thing. So you want to get religion out of daily life because it creates nothing except strife. It creates strife because it's based on irrational concepts. And non-rational, you like that better? You know, you believer, it's non-rational, right? It's faith. And people get pretty excited about faith. Rational, you can say, you know, I don't think this is right. You can say, well, let me consider that. But you're not going to get a theist to say, when you say, look, there is no God, it's a ridiculous proposition, you're not going to get a theist that's going to say, I never thought of that. Let's examine that. What makes you say that? So it's highly emotional, and it has produced nothing over the centuries other than this carnage based on you've got the right or wrong interpretation of religion or the wrong religion or whatever. And these people want to have those symbols in our public buildings in a secular nation. That's a no-no, isn't it? However, a December 2005 poll by the Pew Forum found 83% of Americans agreed that displays of Christmas symbols like nativity scenes and Christmas trees should be allowed on government property. 44% of those respondents said it was okay for Christmas symbols to be displayed alone. That is, sometimes they have a bunch of them. You know, they'll have Kwanzaa and, I don't know, do they have a Muslim deal? And they'll have a menorah from Judaism and all that. But there's more to this story, both specifically in Berkeley, Michigan, but there's also a lot more when we come back. And I'll get your calls as well in this story. So hang on. We're going to take a little short break, and then we'll be back to talk more about it. I'd like you to join me. I'm Peter Werbe. This is the Mike Malloy Show, and the number you need to get on the air is 800-989-1480. I say kick religion out of the public square, put it in the religious institutions where it belongs, and let's get a little religious peace in our country and in the world as well. So come on back, 800-989-1480. This is the Nova M Radio Network.
To meet my maker and fly into the sun.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show on the Novam Radio Network. Peter Werby sitting in for Mike tonight. He'll be back tomorrow. I'm broadcasting from Detroit. You'd like to join me, 800-989-1480. Greg in Sacramento is listening, and he wrote in to calltalkyes@yahoo.com. That's calltalkyes@yahoo.com. He says, good to hear you on the air again. As per your conversation with Joy, who believed that Gore will run, she called in from Santa Cruz. I have today come to the realization, finally, that Gore will not. As much as I'd like to have him run, former President Carter has called Gore numerous times, according to a New York Times article, encouraging him to announce. He quoted Gore as saying, please don't call and ask me anymore. So, didn't Caesar refuse the crown like three times, four times, something like that? I can't remember. But Let me just finish with that. I want to get your calls in the air, but let me just finish with this religion thing. Where in Berkeley, Michigan, a suburb of Detroit, where I'm broadcasting from, there is going to be a referendum that was put on the ballot that would require the government, the local government, the city government, to display a nativity scene at City Hall. This is just horrible. And a poll by the Pew Forum found 83% of Americans agreed that displays of Christmas symbols like nativity scenes should be allowed on government property. Well, it doesn't matter. You know, it could be a 99.9%. We do have a constitution that says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Well, to give you an idea of where I am coming from, I just got my brand new issue of Free Thought Today. Free Thought is a kind of a 19th century phrase for atheism, but it's a newspaper published by the Freedom From Religion Foundation. You can go to FFRF.org, and Bush has sunk Christianity. I mean, he's done such damage to it. That, and the Catholic Church scandals, and these born agains who have just had one scandal after the next, right? But Free Thought Radio is going to go national this month, so they're all over the place. They have had such an incredible rise in their membership, including mine. So I would urge you to check them out. FFRF. Amazingly, too, a lot of Christians, according to another article that I have here, don't even want to call themselves Christians anymore. They call themselves, where is this in here? One of the biggest surprises for researchers was the extent to which respondents, 1 in 4 non-Christians in this study, said that modern-day Christianity was no longer like Jesus. Ooh. I mean, wasn't he a commie? You know, he kind of had communes, and he was always castigating the rich and what have you. Actually, this is the other article. It was in mysanantonio.com. Christian image is turning youths off. Young people have graded Christianity, and so far, the article says, the report card doesn't look good. Majorities of young people in America describe the modern-day Christianity as judgmental, hypocritical, and anti-gay. Well, hello. What's more, many Christians don't want to call themselves Christian because of the baggage that accompanies the label. I mean, like the Crusades and the Inquisitions and the witch trials and the Catholic Church pedophilia? Well, make me a little concerned, you know? New book based on research by this group found that people in general and gays in particular... found that the church attitudes about people in general and gays in particular are driving a negative image of the Christian faith among people ages 16 to 29. What do you mean, image? I mean, the other option is that it's a correct view of it all. Now, I know, I would say that 95% of the Christians that I know are active in the peace and social justice movement. And they are pro-gay, pro-choice, pro-peace. And these people are wonderful. These people are really wonderful, but they're turning out, and probably historically, they're probably footnotes of footnotes, right? But some of these people now are calling themselves, rather than Christians, followers of Jesus or apprentices of Christ. Well, let's see. Oh, yeah, there's more, too. I love this. I just came back from Nashville, and there was this stall. I was nervous about going in a bathroom stall at an airport, but I go in there, and this is something that is on lots of minds, right, Senator Wide-Stantz? Because their graffiti said in the stall I was in, reserved for Republican elected officials. And now a Vatican official was suspended after being caught on hidden camera making advances to a young man that this Vatican official said in an interview, this sounds familiar, doesn't it? I am not gay, and was only pretending to be gay as part of his work. Don't you love it? Don't you just love it? These people are such hypocrites. It defies the imagination. And the stories they come up with, you know, the wide stance. I was taking a wide stance. How can you take a wide stance with your pants down around your ankles? What he was trying to do, he says, Monsignor Tommaso Stanico. He said, it's all false. It was a trap. I was a victim of my own attempts to contribute to cleaning up the church with my psychoanalyst work. And he is a top official in the Vatican's Congregation of the Clergy. You kind of get the idea why people, and a lot of young people particularly, think that there's quite a bit of hypocrisy going on. Well, I'm going to be back. Promise to take your calls. That's all I got right now. But I want to talk about Al Gore, too. So that and anything else is welcome on the Mike Malloy Show. 800-989-1480. Peter? Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show on the Novam Radio Network. Peter Werby in for Mike. Mike will be back tomorrow. I'm broadcasting from Detroit. But, hey, we go all over the country, don't we? Because as ZZ Top sang, I'm bad, I'm nationwide. Because we've got a network here in Novam Radio, and we are streaming, so we're bad, we're international. So we're all over the world, aren't we? And you go to NovaMradio.com for more information. 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480. You can reach me by email at calltalkyes. calltalkyes@yahoo.com. And we've been talking about just a little about Al Gore. I think we're going to talk more about it. The idea of kicking religion out of the public square. Let them do their religious things in the institutions they have set up, and stop having their religious ideas inserted into the public sphere, where they have hit traditionally caused nothing but strife, right? And what else are we talking? Oh, yeah, Social Security, whether that's even going to be around, and Star Wars, and how the economy is being looted, for as it has been since World War II, by the military-industrial complex, and they're turning up the screws. Because, you know, one reason they're doing it, because we don't do much in response, do we? I said earlier, we got two choices. One is resistance. The other is thatch our roofs, admit we're peasants, and then we can come to our rulers, rather than doing things like voting and demonstrating and going to rallies and having meetings in our churches and union halls. We'll just have our hat in our hand and we'll say, please, sir, can you give us just a little? Please, sir, don't kill everything so fast. That's all we ask. Or are we going to be powerful people, united, and making this small minority of rulers conform to what we all need, and they'll benefit from that as well, as opposed to we being forced to accept everything they shove down our throat? That's a bad idea. 800-989-1480. Let's go to Mike. Mike's in Phoenix. He's listening on KPHX. Hey, Mike, it's Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. So are you. Go ahead.
Hey, what's happening?
Doing the show.
Hey, All right, man. Well, look, I wanted to talk about Gore, but you've been talking about religion for a while, so I wanted to touch base on that.
Sure.
You're right. The New Testament is rife with socialism. Completely. And I think the left has to do a little bit more homework. This way they can do battle with people on the right when they bring up certain issues. And this they can point out the hypocrisy. If you see a statue of Jesus at the town square, slap on a red star on his cloak. Because it's, right? I mean, come on. It's unbelievable. It's blatant. It's absolutely blatant. And you got to point these things out to people.
Well, you know, there's a number of Christian radicals, the Catholic Worker Movement, Dorothy Day, and then, of course, the Pledge of Allegiance was written by a Christian socialist minister named Bellamy.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Most of the big things that were written, I mean, think about, you know, This Land Is Your Land was written by by a communist, right? All of a sudden I've gone blank. Pete Seeger's mentor, Woody Guthrie. And let me see, the America the Beautiful was written by a lesbian, you know, and it goes on like that.
I have a book, and maybe you remember, I don't know how old you are, but it was probably done in the early 70s, around the time of the Vietnam War. It was a book called Quotations from Chairman Jesus.
Oh, yeah, actually, I do remember.
You do remember it. I have it, and I actually carry it around in case I get into a right-wing argument.
Yeah, well.
And it is ammo like you don't know.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
All right, Mike, real quickly, give me the Gore deal, but quickly.
The Gore. If everybody remembers correctly, how Gore pity-patted around with George Bush when it came down to the debate for the 2000 election.
Yeah, how can you lose a debate with George Bush? I don't understand.
Yeah, with his pathetic record in Texas, and Gore sat there and played with kid gloves with him the whole time. I definitely think people have a strange memory, and I think looking at Gore as a messiah is ridiculous. I want to know one thing about Air America. Why can't they just get behind Ralph Nader? Why can't this station get behind Ralph Nader?
Well, because what you're listening to now is the Nova M radio network. You'll have to ask the liberals over there about that. All right. Thank you very much, Mike. Appreciate your call. 800-989-1480 is our phone number. Here's Todd, also listening to KPHX in Phoenix. Go ahead. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show with you.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a conservative. I'm not vitriolic.
Wait. Still?
They're
wow. Okay.
My friend,
go
I
ahead.
Can take issue with almost everything you say.
Well,
I'd like
don't
to
have,
go ahead.
Don't have that much time. Pick one or two things.
Let's focus going on the religious deal.
Yeah.
I'm a Christian, of course.
What do you mean, of course? You think Randians are conservatives and they're atheists?
I don't believe atheism is philosophically tenable, first of all. But let's go ahead and talk about.
I don't think theism is philosophically tenable, but go ahead.
That's that then. Let's go ahead and discuss how atheism is not philosophically tenable.
You know what? This could take us a long time.
Okay, let's focus on the law point then.
Yeah.
The legal point. I agree with you. There should not be a law establishing that we should have Christian symbols on town squares. However, Christianity is the predominant cultural drive in this country. And to say that Christianity or Judeo-Christian is not the predominant cultural, it's actually anti-culturalism, I think. And to say that we're strictly a secular society is to ignore 90% of American history.
Well, I didn't say a secular society. I said we're a secular nation. We have a foundation document, one of the first, probably what, the first country ever to have a document describing the rules for administration of government so that people they hoped weren't going to be, wasn't going to be individuals, but rather there was a basis of law. So there's nowhere that I've ever seen in the Constitution that mentions God or Jesus. Now, these guys knew about Jesus and God. Some of them were religious. A lot of them were deists and weren't very much into Jesus. But they could have put it in there. They could have said, this is a Christian nation founded on the precepts of Jesus Christ, our Savior. But they didn't. They wanted it to be a secular nation because they knew how dangerous religion is from the experiences they'd had both in Europe and in the colonies.
May I refute that?
What's that?
May I refute that? Take an opportunity to refute that.
Yeah, just refute it. I mean, we waste time by...
Right. Well, actually, what happened is, of course, they don't want extreme sects of Christianity taking over like they saw in Britain and Europe. But to say that they discarded Christianity as the found word... You know, you can't have morality without religion. It doesn't exist. And there is no morality in secularism, which means... that you do not have a vacuum of morality ever in government. You always subscribe to certain moral codes. So where do you derive the moral codes that you subscribe to? Where do they come from?
Well, let me say this. Let's just go back to what I was saying earlier about the history of religion. I'm going to debate a preacher, by the way. It's going to be resolved God exists, which I think he's going to have a hard time. But I'm going to talk about two things. One, God's omniscience. That is that he has, you know, that he knows all, sees all, is all powerful. And why in the hell did he saddle us with this? But the other thing I'm going to talk about is Christianity's history. And for every good Christian I know, for the Dorothy Days and the Reverend Bellamy's and the good people that I know here in Detroit that are religious, it's a little hard to stack them up against the Crusades and the Inquisitions and the witch trials and what have you. That Christianity, like most formal patriarchal religions, sky god based, are these bloody swords.
So you take seriously isolated examples of absolute evil within Christianity, which is institutionalized.
I would say that's
complete Christianity.
You think that's anecdotal? This was the
absolutely
that it ruled.
Anecdotal.
Wait. It ruled Europe. That was, and then it exported it with the same murderous thrust to the Americas. And
so Christianity was murderous?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean,
Christianity is murderous. We're a murderous nation if we're Christians.
Well,
I'm saying
Christianity has a murderous history, and all formal religions, all formal patriarchal sky gods that want to enforce its beliefs on other people are a bloody sword.
And secularism as well, and communism as well, and socialism as well.
Well, if you start looking at, well, now you're saying, look at, what are you saying? Christianity's as bad as Mao and Stalin?
That's what you're saying, sir. That's the equivocation that you're making, I think.
All right, thank you, Todd. You know, I don't think these things go anywhere. You know, my friend Tom Hartman can do this. He gets like conservatives on the air, but you know, you never get anywhere. Like there's no basis of common assumptions in any of this, is there? Oh well. All right. Let me see who else is here. Here's Oliver listening to Winds in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. How you doing, Oliver? You're on the air. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Very interesting show you have, Ben. Very interesting topic.
Thank you.
And I just want to point out some things to you. I'm probably referring to a book that I read the other day, which is excellent. One, God is not a religious term.
God is not a religious term?
No, it's not. It's a metaphysical term. Mm-hmm. God refers to an energy that creates, preserves, and destroys, right? The energy that creates the whole universe. The church has taken the word God, right, and codified it, packaged it, marketed it, right, and turned it into an institution. That's number one. Number two, Jesus Christ is not a Christian. He's a Jew.
Yeah.
He's a Jewish rabbi.
Yeah.
Number three, I don't want to go on because I know there are a lot of people calling and I don't want to monopolize the call. But can I mention the name of the book on air?
Oh, please do.
Okay, the website is called expandingtheboundariesofself.com.
I'm sorry. Say it again. Expanding the boundaries of what?
Expanding the boundaries of self.
Of self.
.com. Yes.
Yeah. Expanding the boundaries of
self.
Okay. I'll check it out. Thank you, Oliver.
A pleasure.
Bye bye. All of my thoughts about religion and atheism you can find on my website, Peter Werbe. That's my name. W-E-R-B as in boy E. PeterWerbe.com. And if you go down on the left side, where else, of the site, there's a little church sign and it says, Why I Am an Atheist. You can get all my ideas there. Maybe I won't debate this preacher. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, we have some open lines if you'd like to join us. 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480. Peter Werbe with you on the Mike Malloy Show. You're listening to the Nova M Radio Network. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werbe broadcasting for Mike from Detroit, Michigan. Thanks for joining me. 800-989-1480. See, got some email here we'll go through real quickly. Al in Rochester, New York, wrote into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Hello, Peter. Always great to hear you, although I miss Julene. Julene Jordan is my on-air partner. And if you go to Peter Werbe, W-E-R-B-E.com, you can hook on to her absolutely incredible MySpace page. Over the top. Al says, I'm a constituent of Senator Hillary Clinton in New York. I voted for her. She once had principles. Not anymore. She's been bought and paid for by the same rich corporate interests she once stood against. Witness her so-called health care plan, her refusal to commit to ending the Iraq war. Where does she stand on environmental issues? Which way is the wind blowing, or which way is the cash flowing, says Al. If Al Gore even hints that he may run, they will try to buy him off, too. Al says, I predict he will run, but will not announce it until the Democratic convention in 2008. Michael Weiner on Fox Noise says, global warming is a myth perpetuated by the religion of atheism. Their high priest is Al Gore. I mean, Al puts that into the show, how insane these fascist rightists are. Let's see. Oh, yeah, I said earlier about our show being international, and international certainly. So is your WRIF show in Detroit, writes Jacob, who's listening in Oulu, Finland. Great to have you hosting Mike's show. 5:40 a.m. here in Oulu, Finland. Sunrise is now at 8:10 and sunset at 1800 hours. So one more. Patty from is listening in North Dakota. And, oh, and Rame, I don't know, R-H-A-M-E, North Dakota. There's a Code Pink in North Dakota, those active women. Check them out for sure. She says, okay, now I don't understand this. I hope I'm not getting my, I know I've heard from Patty before, so I know she wouldn't trick me, making me say something really silly. But she says, okay, I think all of Gore's problems from the campaign through the selection of 2000 can be summed up with one word leaving the lips, Bob Shrum. Shrummy, what is this? I mean, if I said something like, I keep thinking, well, anyway. Shrummy is the reason for all of Gore's issues then and all of Kerry's to follow. Any questions? Yeah. Thanks for all you do, Peter. Make sure you mention your Sunday show with Jolene. Thank you. Yeah, you can go to my website again, Peter Werbe, W-E-R-B-E.com, and you can hook on to when the show is. One more. William, listening in Hollywood, writes about the arms race that we were talking about in the first hour, that Bushco, the racket posing as a government, the military-industrial complex. He says, as you know, we've been down this road of nuclear armament before, and we see how well it worked out for the USSR. In other words, they went broke. I'm sick and tired of bombs and bullets and the so-called war machine sucking us dry of any means to a peaceful future. Don't we already have enough nuclear weapons in place now to destroy the planet? Uh-huh. And Bush doesn't want to get rid of any of them. Russia does. Bush ended that almost immediately upon coming in office. That's what I'm saying. William says, it just never ends. Instead of arms being our foremost means of manufacturing, let's make safe toys or clothes. Make anything that promotes jobs and peace. Well said, all of you. Call talkyes@yahoo.com. Here is Aaron listening. Aaron's listening on Sirius Radio. Aaron, hi. It's Peter in for Mike. Go ahead. You're on the air. Are you with me?
Hello?
Yeah, hi. Yes. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah. To listen to you, you keep kind of painting a pretty broad brush about religion being like this ultimate evil. You know, I can sit here and pick apart, you know, where good points, and you can sit here and pick apart bad points.
Yeah.
Kind of just, you know, why paint such a broad brush?
I'll tell you what sticks out. I mean, the Crusades and the witch burnings kind of stick out more in my mind than, say,
what about people like Mother Teresa and Maximilian Kolbe?
Well, I don't know. Mother Teresa, when she, well, you know what she said the greatest evil in the world was? Not poverty. She said it was abortion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's her belief. I mean,
well, she's one person. In the meantime, the Christians, the Catholic Crusaders, come to Jerusalem in the 11th century and kill by hand 30,000 people, you know, all for the glory of Christ.
Yeah, I know. I've been there. I've been to Jerusalem. I've been through the whole tour.
Oh, you didn't put anybody to sword, though.
No.
That's good.
But it's a pretty broad brush. I mean, anything in an absolute, you know, it's that whole thing of, you know, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. I mean, you know. Look at Stalin.
Yeah.
He was not by far a religious man, but yet he killed how many Ukrainians? How many of his own people?
He's responsible for the deaths of tens of millions of people, directly and indirectly. Deaths of millions of people. Here's the deal. I've got friends that call themselves libertarian socialists or libertarian communists, but Stalin and Mao and others have so besmirched the name of that it may be unresurrectable. All right, thank you very much. We got to go. We can hear this music coming up. We're going to be back with our final hour and lots of time to talk with you. We're open line again, 800-989-1480. I think I'm going to talk, just to launch things, about the evidence is in, as if we needed, about how the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. Wow. They're looting us, folks. More on that when we come back. Peter Werbe on the Mike Malloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network. I'm Peter Werbe, sitting in for Mike. He'll be back tomorrow. I'm broadcasting from Detroit, Michigan. We have a toll-free number for you, 800-989-1480. Pardon me, for the bashful or whatever, calltalkyes@yahoo.com, calltalkyes@yahoo.com. From the Wall Street Journal, of all places, the richest American's share of national income has hit a post-war record, surpassing the highs reached in the 1990s bull market and underlining the divergence of economic fortunes, blamed for fueling anxiety among American workers. I'm not quite sure what the hell they're writing about, but essentially it boils down to that the rich are getting richer, and the wealth has to come from somewhere. I mean, it's not like a zero sum, so there's more wealth being produced. Productivity is growing, wealth production is growing, and it's a matter of how it is distributed. Now, righties hate to talk about income distribution. You know, it's so weird. The average right-winger doesn't have any more money than the average lefty, but they defend the wealthy, wealth that exists in our country and is growing, and even worse so around the world. They're so weird. They're just so weird. The wealthiest 1% of Americans earned 21.2% of all income. In other words, 3 million people earned 21% of all income in 2005. That's from the Internal Revenue Service. It's up sharply. The bottom 50%, that's 150 million people. The bottom 50% earned 12.8% of all income, and that's a figure that's dropping as well. So this is, again, a process of looting. Because, I mean, well, there's a long history of it. This country was looted from the native peoples. Africans were looted. Africans were looted from that continent in order to be forced to work for free to build the original economies and wealth of this country. And this kind of looting, this process of looting in our economy, goes on apace and getting worse and worse. Scholars attribute rising inequality to several factors, including technological change that favors those with more skills and globalization and advances in communications that enlarge the rewards available to, quote, superstar performers, whether in business, sports, or entertainment. No, it's about income distribution, because what you could very easily do, of course, is have a progressive tax that steeply took money from those people that are making insane amounts. In other words, when we're taking money from someone who's making $50,000 in order to fuel the wars in Iraq or to build some insane Star Wars system, that's crazy. You're making $50,000 and they're taking money away from you. But if you're making $150 million a year and the government took away all but $4 or $5 million, whoa, doesn't that make a lot more sense? Because it used to be, up till 1960, and here's where you see the role that the Democrats play, is that over $6 million income, the tax rate was 90%. Confiscatory taxes. It confiscated the wealth of the ultra-wealthy. And what that stopped, even though there was certainly a very, very powerful ruling class that made the command decisions about politics and the economy, there was some semblance of moving towards economic democracy, where there would be not these enormous gaps between rich and poor. And it's worse nationwide. Almost 10 million, mostly men, have a net income of $37.2 trillion. $37.2 trillion in the hands of 10 million men, a couple women, what have you. And this means that the conditions are a lot different, because for every experience that poor people or hardworking, working people, the near poor, even the middle class have in trying to make ends meet and get what we need for our kids and what have you, there's not the kind of starvation and epidemic disease and bad water and all of that that accrues because of this worldwide process of looting. It's called the market system. And ultimately, it doesn't even do the rulers any good, because this is all going to collapse in on them. I mean, all you got to do is look at Mike Davis's book or essay, The Planet of Slums. I mean, it'll work for a while, but unless things are changed, look out. It's going to be bad. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. We're at 800-989-1480. We? What do you mean we? Kathy Malloy's not here. She's on vacation with Mike as well. It's me and Ian Huff in Phoenix, who's pressing all the buttons, making this happen. Here's Kevin in D.C. Hi, Kevin. You're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing, Mike? I just wanted to point out, Al Gore is going to make his announcement December 10th, 2007.
You mean that's the date when he got screwed?
No, that's going to be the day he's going to announce he's running.
I mean, what are you saying the significance of December 10th was?
That's when he'll actually get the award. And that's the world stage, and it's a world platform right there to announce his presidency.
I was thinking, I can't remember the exact date, but I was trying to remember the date when the news came in that Bush Sr.'s buddies had stolen the election from him.
It was December 15th. That's the day when, they get the medal. Or the trophies or whatever.
Okay. Well, you say he's going to run. Let me see. I'm looking down here. I guess people have other ideas about it, but I wonder. I think he's not going to run. I hope, Kevin, you're right. I hope you're right. But I'm.
Well, what frightens me is that they do another Robert F. Kennedy kind of thing. That's what frightens me the most.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that's really stopping him, because this right wing here, they will stop at nothing.
They're murderous.
They are murderous.
They're
full of hate. They know their system is doomed to fail, too.
And they make a fortune off of failure, always.
I can understand the wealthy segment of the right wing.
Yeah.
Because the money. But I'm talking about the goon, like the stormtroopers, the goon squads.
Yeah. Well, I don't understand. You're right. Your average middle class, let alone, you go to like some work sites or tradesmen come, and they're listening to Rush Limbaugh, and I think, what pathetic idiots these guys are. They're being robbed by these richies who think that they wouldn't even let them in the front door of their house or their fancy clubs or anything like that. And these guys, they're suckers. They're saps. They really are.
And I just don't understand them. And another thing, the thing that I wanted to point out with the religious nut that you had on board, Christianity has had millenniums of blood on the hand. Look at Richard the Lionheart.
Sure.
That crazy psychopath.
Well, I mentioned a couple of times slavery, and slavery, of course, was condoned by mainstream Christian. Although, I have to say, too, there were a lot of Christian abolitionists as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, it went both sides. The true Christians were the abolitionists.
Maybe.
It's like, I just don't understand it. And, yes, there is a separation between church and state.
Let's keep it that way. Thank you, Kevin.
Okay, no problem. Bye.
Appreciate your call. Bye-bye now. Here's Diana. Diana's in Seattle listening on the Internet. Thanks for calling the Mike Malloy Show. This is Peter Werby.
Hi, Peter. I've heard you many times fill in for Mike, and I enjoy you.
Thank you.
I'm calling because I think Al Gore is going to run. I just cannot understand why he would put those three videos on current, especially the one about health care where he calls for a single-payer plan.
Mm-hmm.
That was really surprising to me. And I have something taped to my computer that it says, the hottest layers of hell are reserved for those who in times of moral crisis maintain their neutrality, which, of course, you probably know Dante said that.
Sure. And also Jim Hightower, what's the name of his book? There ain't nothing in the middle of the road except yellow stripes and dead amarillos.
Armadillos. Yeah, but, you know,
Amarillo is a town, isn't it, in New Mexico?
I'm just really hopeful that he does run because I really fear that in our country or in the world, we have to look at what's in front of our eyes. And the earth is crying, and the glaciers are melting, and the people have to be calling out for change. And I think that Al, when he put those videos up there, he did it for a reason.
Well, you know, Diana, you're the second person that mentioned the videos. I think it was Joy in Santa Cruz that mentioned them at first, and she gave kind of this long URL that I couldn't even get down. Is there a simple way to find these videos?
Just go to Current TV and then go under Al, type in Al Gore.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
If three of them come up, and then if you have Flash,
well,
number nine.
If you start getting into slashes, that starts confusing people. But okay, Current.com. Hey, you know what Al Gore has done with the $750,000 that he won for the Nobel Prize?
I understand he gave it to the group that is trying to stop
global
warming.
That's right. He gave it to the Alliance for Climate Protection. He calls Alliance for Climate Protection the planet's public relations officer. So let's talk a little bit more. Oh, by the way, thank you, Diana. Let's talk a little more about Al Gore when we come back because, there's still these people out there that says global warming is a hoax. Michael Weiner says it's Gore is the high priest of atheism and all this stuff, but we'll talk a little bit when we get back. Meantime, what do you think? Gore is going to run, not run? Based on what, though? 800-989-1480. Peter Werby in for Mike Malloy. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby broadcasting from Detroit. Yeah. 800-989-1480. 989-1480 on the Nova M Radio Network. Let's see. I got to get down there. Cindy, listening in Washington State, writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. The Gore films, the Gore videos, the policy statements are apparently at current.tv. Current.tv. She says she doesn't like it, can't find the films there either. She said never can find anything. All I see is a bunch of young people talking to each other. It's like MySpace, which is not very interesting to me. Thanks for doing Mike's show. She says, I don't think Al Gore is going to run, even though I am on the petition and wish he would. I say, who could blame him? He won once, and he stayed in there for the fight, and the American people let him down and broke his heart. We simply don't deserve him, but he deserves the happy life he now has. By the way, doesn't Tipper look great these days? I haven't seen Tipper in a long time. She was the one that was trying to censor rock and roll, though. It's hard for me. You know, that's 20 years ago. I know, but it's hard to, as a rock DJ, or at least how I started and still do a little on our Detroit stations here, don't like that. But anyway, gee, I haven't heard that from her in a long time. So I know. Let it go, Pete. Let it go. But Cindy says he won once, and he stayed in there for the fight, and the American people let him down and broke his heart. Cindy, I actually do not buy that. He had a responsibility to call people to the streets, and I don't mean with their with our how many guns we have or with our 215 million guns that we have. I mean peacefully protest, peacefully assemble for redress of grievances. And we had a major agreement. The election was stolen from Al Gore. I mean, it's pretty obvious, of course, that he won the popular vote. We wound up with the loser, and man, is he the loser. Not Al Gore, you know, the guy who's sitting in the White House illegally. I mean, he also illegally stole the 2004 election as well. But I don't think Al Gore stayed in there for the fight, not the fight that should have been done. It was fixed, and he must have known that. He must have known that he was getting outmaneuvered on every level, legally and the way that they, you know, the Republicans sent this goon squad down to Florida. If suddenly there would have been something unprecedented in American history. Remember, this is maybe not a good example, but on, I think it was February 15, 2003, millions of people came out in the streets of the United States and the world to say no to the Bush lying war, the lies about the Bush war, the impending one, the invasion of Iraq. You can say, well, that didn't work, did it? Well, maybe it wouldn't have worked for having millions of us out in the street for that either. But, you know, it would have been at least worth the effort, I suspect. All right, your thoughts, please. 800-989-1480 is our phone number. And let's see, let's go to Mike. Mike's listening to KSAC in Elk Grove, California. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. Pleasure to talk to you.
Well,
great
thank
job
you.
Great filling in for Mike.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes, I thought of you. Here, a couple things. Actually, three things. I'll be real quick, though. The first one is as far as the riding the backs of the middle class, that's where these rich folks, the upper middle class, if they make over $500,000 and how they were able to achieve that is they had the five tax cuts from President Bush, unprecedented during war, correct?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, in addition, you know, when you look at the living wages, when you look at things of the that I heard earlier concerning the subprime lending,
uh-huh.
where folks,
like
it's just
yeah.
absolutely astounding how these corporations and companies are able to dupe the people, working middle class, those that are marginal credit and so forth, and just totally dupe them out of a house that the banks now own and get credit for. It's just totally astounds me how they don't care about the working middle class or those that are in other a strata of our economic strata.
Well, you know, Mike, we the people never could depend upon the sympathy or the generosity of the wealthy and the rulers throughout history. We're just dog meat for their factories and cannon fodder for their wars. They have their own little life with crystal chandeliers and $2,000 suits and $400 pairs of shoes, and we're supposed to finance it. All right,
yeah.
We're going to cut this one a little short, unfortunately. Oh, you know, stay with me. You want to hold on?
Sure.
You got more? Okay, I'll put you on hold because I know you had other stuff to say. One of the things that the Wall Street Journal article about how the income inequality gap has widened is that the assault on our unions that has driven down wages so badly. They don't mention that as a little factor on why the rich are getting so rich at the expense of the middle class and the working class. Peter Werbe on the Mike Malloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network. Our call-in number, 800-989-1480. I'll be right back. We got the airwaves here at NovaM Radio Network, the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werbe broadcasting from Detroit, sitting in for Mike. Mike will be back from the Grand Cruise on the Mexican Riviera tomorrow. He'll tell you all about it. I can't wait to hear about it. And you think, why am I laughing? Well, wait till you hear Mike's stories, all right? We were talking and are continuing to talk with Mike, who's listening to KSAC in Elk Grove, California, about the economy and how the wealthy, these are my words, you said riding, Mike, I always say looting is a lot more accurate, eh?
Yeah, but the other thing, too, is I'm also a union job steward, and I paid particular attention to the unions of the United Auto Workers, you know, with Chrysler and Ford, and it's just tremendous. If we had universal health care, how much of a savings that would be, because I pay a third of my health costs, and I get a great health from the state.
Yeah, I don't know why the big auto companies, we used to call them the Big Three, now we just call them the Detroit Three here in what was the Motor City, but why they wouldn't be agitating for a universal health program, because that would take so much pressure off them. I was saying earlier that the reason there's this huge income inequality gap is because of the collapse of unions, whereas, you know, a generation ago, 30% of the non-government workforce was unionized, and now it's down to 6%. I'm in a union. I'm in the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists. And you're a UAW member?
No, actually, I'm with the CCPOA.
Which is?
California Correctional Peace Officer Association, which we are currently without a contract. But it's interesting, what's extraordinary is that the Department of Personnel Administration, which is where we send our fourth-level grievances, they are actually proposing to our legislature a last, best, and final, because we couldn't come to any kind of agreement with the governor. And like I told many of my fellow peers, that, you know, with Angelides would have been a far better choice to negotiate with than the Schwartz-Reneger, because a couple things. Number one, he lost his five initiatives here in California, 20,000 union folks. It was a beautiful thing. Showed up at the Capitol back in 2005, 20,000 plus strong with Christine there present. And you would have thought, with all that going on, you would have we would have voted him out. And it didn't happen. I was just amazed.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what's happening, that Ron Gettelfinger, who, what do they say, full disclosure, used to be Mike Malloy's boss and mine. We worked for the UAW network, IE America, and I guess I don't mind saying it was probably the worst employer I ever had in my 30 years plus in radio. But this new contract that I don't know that they could have done any better, but newly hired workers at GM are going to be making half as much as current hourly employees under this new contract with UAW and GM. That means after they phase out the guys that are in their 40s and 50s and early 60s, they're going to have cut the wages that people died in the street of Detroit and Flint, Michigan for, two generations ago. And,
which I thought of you, too, because there was a piece on Link TV, which, you know, it's an independent news station with Democracy Now! On it.
Right.
But I thought of you because there was a program called The 60s in Berkeley, and Mike Malloy laid it all out one night and told his audience how you are the active in activism. I mean, you just were there for a lot of that.
A lot of folks were during that period. But yeah, Mike. Thanks.
One more thing. I just want to put a plug for an event coming up at the end of the month.
Please.
It's called the Asian Pacific Islander American Public Affairs. That's going to be the 28th of October at progressive.com. That's where you get the information. We're going to have the governor all the way down to city council folks present.
Well, great. Thank you so much. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Good luck.
Appreciate it. All right, let's go to Douglas. He's listening also at KSAC in Sacramento. Hey, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Yeah. That guy, that religious guy, kind of got under my skin a little bit.
A lot of, he did with a lot of people. Got a lot of email. A lot of people want to talk about him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They talk, a lot of guys like that, they will talk about criticism of religious intolerance as being like anecdotal, like those are outside the norm, and you'll talk about that broad brush business about branding religion with those guys. But at the same time, they will talk about people who have said really stupid things about relative morality as if it's all about relative morality, like there are no bad relative moralists, it's just that relative morality is bad.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you can't have a society without getting together, some kind of moral code. And the idea that it has to be handed down from on high, I just find.
Well, there's most societies that, because most societies began in 20, 30,000 years ago, and most of them developed a code of some kind with a spiritual basis to it. But ultimately, well, there was a lot to it. But in terms of how we relate to one another, in terms of that interpersonal morality, it's all the golden rule. I know the golden rule now is he who has the gold rules, but the real one, that do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Real simple. You don't screw over people. And then they don't screw over you. And there has to be mechanisms within society to make sure that, you know, because every once in a while there's malefactors, that they get dealt with. Now people are with you know, these right-wingers, we live in a Christian society. Well, how come people are being done so wrong here and around the world if Christianity is able to affect such a great moral, bearing on all of us?
Yeah, there's nothing in the Bible I can remember that specifically says you're supposed to deal fairly with non-Christians. I think there's a little bit in the Quran about that, that you're supposed to deal fairly with even with non-believers. But
well, there's no Christians really in the Bible, is there? I mean, they're followers of Jesus. That's what some of these people that are so ashamed of what's been done and currently occurring in the name of Christianity. I don't know if you heard me read that article earlier, but they're calling themselves now followers of Jesus. Which, it's not exactly the great shorthand that one word is, but I don't know. It's kind of a bad history. And it's like if I said to you, look, I'm a communist, but I'm not like those guys that ran people into, concentration camps and killed all those people and ran this dictatorial police state. I'm a different kind of communist. You would say, well, I don't know. It's got a bad track record. Maybe we ought to look at different ways to do things. So maybe there is different ways to approach spirituality, because this one, as I said, formal religions that are hierarchical, internally, and patriarchal in nature, and sky gods. When I keep talking, I don't know if that's quite clear what I mean when I keep talking about sky gods. The pagan religions, the nature religions that succored us all when we were hunters and gatherers, linked us not only with one another, but linked us with the elements of the planet, the flower, the flora, the fauna, the changing of the seasons, and all of that. But once the Godhead is suddenly goes up into the sky, and it's always a he, the matriarch, and the matriarchy, and gets thrown away. The God always demands absolute allegiance, and what's left on Earth is then for the people to do what they want with it. So a stream is no longer sacred. There's no longer a sacred grove of trees. A sacred grove of trees becomes timber, right? We can do anything to it, and that's what's been done to the planet.
Oh, yeah, when you have one God up in the sky, that's a very high abstraction, and you can hide a multitude of abuses in there.
Yeah, if you're going to be religious, get a lot of gods and goddesses, particularly goddesses. Get some goddesses in here, At least the Latin American people have a big thing about Mary, But, here they call it like idolatry or something. But I don't know. I can't understand those people. All right, Dave, thank you very much.
Douglas.
I'm sorry, not Dave, Douglas. I'm looking at the next caller. Thank you, Douglas. Thanks for calling in.
Uh-huh.
Pardon me. Now, we will go, in fact, to Dave. And Dave is listening on the Internet in Joliet, Illinois. Hi, you're on the air.
How you doing?
Doing great.
Now, when you talk about goddess, are you referring to Randy?
No.
I think a lot of the golden rulers these days aren't too worried about fitting through the eye of a needle, though.
No, I know. I know. They think they've got it made.
I'm calling because I take exception with what the guy said. Again, I would like to say amen to the last caller. The guy who said that you can't have morality without religion.
I
have a lot of convoluted things in my life. I spent 3 years in a seminary. I'm a recovering alcoholic for 22 years.
Yeah.
And
I'll bet you play handball. Don't you?
No.
Okay.
No, okay. I thought we were going with the metaphor there.
No metaphors. No, that's the actual sport. That's one of the things. When someone, everybody that I know is ever in the seminary also was a handball player. I play handball too, but go ahead. No.
I'll leave that to the priest.
Yeah.
No, I spent time, and that was part of my self-discovery, okay? But I was an alcoholic at the time. Oh, I still am an alcoholic, but I've been recovering for a long time. And one of the basic tenets of AA, which I don't adhere to, is, relying on your higher power. I've come to realize one thing in my life's journey, is that your higher power is inside you.
Mm-hmm.
And your morality comes from that. You draw it from that. You're either a good person or you got bad wiring.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, Dave, that all these people, I don't know if you heard me say earlier, that all these, the religious people I know in Detroit, the Christians, the Jews, the Muslims, because there's a lot of Muslim people here, they are religious and they do good work in the community, some of it peace and social justice, some of it just good work. It's not like if you took away their religion that they'd start being these awful people and preying upon people and what have
right.
you. Yeah.
My grandparents were extremely religious people, but they lived by example. They didn't use it as an opiate.
There you go. All right, I got to take a break. Thank you so much. Appreciate
Thanks.
Your call. I got a couple open lines. You want to grab it for our final segment? I'm sorry. Tell me again. I'm getting a little instructions here from Phoenix. What? Okay. Okay, take my time, I'm told. All right. We'll have a final segment coming up and get as many. Whoa, want me to try again? Thank you, I got a lot of time. We'll try to get as many of you on the air as possible. There you go. The number here is 800-989-1480. My God, it's better than your God. Who's this, Ian? Okay, Well, you know who this is? I know who it is. My God, he's from the Freedom From Religion Foundation, Dan Barker. Google Dan Barker. In the meantime, I'm going to take a break. I'm Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network. And my God is better than your God.
Better than your God.
Welcome back to our final segment of the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Peter Werby, broadcasting from Detroit. Sitting in for Mike. Mike will be back in Atlanta tomorrow, and we'll be broadcasting. So I'm looking forward to hearing about his experiences on the big cruise. I want to say thank you to Ian Huff, who is in our Phoenix headquarters of Nova M Radio, because I often, at the end, forget to give proper thanks. There's a great Paul Krugman, column from October 15th. You could probably Google that. Gore derangement syndrome. And one of the questions he asked, what is it about Mr. Gore that drives right-wingers insane? There's a number of articles, I'm not going to read them now because we don't have any time, about one of the world's most foremost meteorologists has called the theory that helped Al Gore share the Nobel Peace Prize ridiculous and the product of, quote, people who don't understand how the atmosphere works. Well, it's interesting. Here's one guy who they give all this, the space to, this Dr. William Gray, a pioneer in the science of seasonal hurricane forecasts. You got to remember, Al Gore shared the prize with, 1,500 or 2,500 scientists who agree. He is not a scientist. He doesn't know this. He read and understood what is in these scientific studies and research papers and what have you that threaten our planet. Now, let's say that Al Gore is completely wrong, okay? That it's not, that this is just cyclical. That's the righties. And isn't this odd that it's political? It's probably that Gore says yes, so they got to say no. Also, that they're total whack jobs. You know, that's another part of it to consider. But even if this is cyclical, and not all this global warming is not caused by human activity, wouldn't it still make sense to do everything that Al Gore suggests and all the other environmentalists suggest just for the health of our planet and the health of us, its inhabitants? I mean, do we really want to continue on fossil fuels and with it, you know, the Bush wars and oil just went up $85 a gallon. So that makes the oil underneath Iraq worth $15 trillion. So you wonder, why are they doing all this? Well, that's why. Al Gore, by the way, finally we found out, thanks to Diana in Washington, that you go to current.tv. Don't put any other ending on it. That's its ending, like US or com or org. This is current.tv, and there's a little box that says topic or something like that. Put in Al Gore, and you're there. You got the videos. Americans deserve more attention. Healthcare is a right. And the other one, get the troops home. Can we agree on that or what? All right, here is Jack Jackson, Ann Arbor, Michigan. Good, I didn't think anybody in the whole state of Michigan was listening to me. Welcome, Jack. You're on the air. It's Peter Werber.
Thank you. Yeah, it's kind of way off the topic, but being from Michigan, I was just appalled at the lack of coverage about this year's primaries, you know, and how Michigan is being denied the primary because they moved their date up.
Right. Tell people a little, not real long, but give us just an idea of what that's all about for other people.
Sure. What is happening is there's a big kind of feud over who's going to hold the primaries first. And so Florida moved theirs up. Actually, the Republicans that moved it up. And so the Democrats had a false suit. And then Michigan moved theirs up because basically they want their vote to be counted. And so what happened is the Democratic National Committee has decided that's illegal for them to move it up because they want New Hampshire and Iowa to continue to have the monopoly on the primaries on who gets selected for the Democratic Party.
Right.
And nobody's covering. I haven't heard anybody on either side even mention it more than once.
Well, you know what this, you don't have to register in Michigan, party affiliation. So, Jack, you know what that means. It means that we can vote, like you and I, we can vote in the Republican primary, and that means we could vote for an anti-war candidate. I mean, I know he's got a lot of warts. What's his name? All of a sudden it's out of my brain. The guy from Texas. Ron Paul.
Even the Libertarian.
Ron Paul, yeah.
I mean,
what would that do to the Republicans if Ron Paul won in Michigan?
I'm gonna campaign for him. I mean, like, I was so upset at the Democratic Party and the fact that Hillary Clinton, she left her name on the ticket and everybody else pulled out. So, I mean, the fix is in. I mean, the Democratic Party is no longer the party of the people.
Yeah.
It's the party of the big corporations, and
I don't know that it ever has been anything any different, but...
But they like to kick Michigan when it's down, and I mean, how much more can you kick Michigan? I mean, Michigan should just succeed from the rest of the United States because...
You got it. I don't know if you can pick up my station. Other people can as well. Sunday nights here in the Detroit area. Well, thank you, Jack. You listen on the air, and I'll tell you the information about that. Peter Werbe's my name, W-E-R-B-E. You can go to my website, peterwerbe.com. I broadcast on Sunday nights along with my on-air partner, Jalene Jordan. Great fun. Take a lot of your calls. Kick a lot of issues around. In the meantime, though, it's been swell. My apologies for those of you who are left on hold, because when you got to go, you got to go. Thanks to everybody at Nova M Radio for inviting me on to substitute for Mike. Like I said, Mike will be back with grand stories about the tour of the Mexican Riviera. It ought to be some terrific listening as usual. So I'm sure we'll meet again further down the road. Have a great evening. Thanks to all. Good night.